Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Tet Amud Aleph. That's 29a. We're all the way at four lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. We're starting a new Mishnah from here on out for the rest of the tractate, which is just a few pages. We're going to be discussing Torah readings on holidays and during the week and all sorts of things related to Torah readings. So we begin with what are called the Dalid Parshiyot, the four special Parshas. And they are, at this time of year, we're right before Pesach right now. We're in the middle of those readings. Actually, we finished all of them. There are four of them. So the four Parshiyot go in this order. First, we read Parshat Shkalim, the chapter related to Shkalim. Then we read Parshat Zachor, which is remembering Amalek. Then we read Parshat Parah, which remembers the red heifer, the Parah Aduma. And finally, we read Parshat HaChodesh, which is the section dealing with the sanctification of the new month of Nisan, and also with the Karban Pesach, the Passover offering. So these are the four readings. The first reading, Shkalim, deals with the giving of the half shekel. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara, there's two opinions about what exactly is the Parsha of Shkalim, but the one that we read is the very beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa, which is Shemot chapter 30, beginning with verse 11. And in that chapter, it says the word Truma, Truma Lashem and Trumat Lashem, which means a donation. In modern Hebrew, a Truma also means a donation. A donation to Hashem. And the rabbis learn from this that there were three special donations that were given to the Beit HaMikdash at this time of year. The first donation was a half shekel that was given by everyone in order for the Beit HaMikdash, for the temple, to purchase sacrifices. And the new fiscal year for the temple began on the first of Nisan. So as we're going to see in our Mishnah, they would announce a month before Nisan that people should give in their half shekels to give them a little time to pay their tax, so that on the first of Nisan, they had money, new money, with which to buy new sacrifices for the new year. There is some question asked in some of the Rishonim, what if they had a surplus left over from the previous year? Could they still use it? We'll leave that for a more detailed shir a different time. The second time it mentions Truma refers to the Trumat Adanim, which was kind of like, a building fund. It was for the construction or the purchase and make of sockets. New construction in the Beit HaMikdash. And the third one was for what's called Bedek HaBayit, which was upkeep, fixing and repairing the Beit HaMikdash. The first two were half shekels, and the third one was, they were flat taxes, and the third one, the one for Bedek HaBayit, was actually at your discretion. You could give more or less as you wanted to, so wealthy people could give more, and poor people would give less. Now, the other reason for reading Parshat Shkalim first is that maybe related to Purim. We want to read it before Purim, as we learned on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet 13b in our tractate a little earlier, that Haman offered money to destroy the Jews. So the Gemara teaches Hikdim Shkalehen Lishkalav, that we preempt his shekels with our shekels. Our half shekels come and negate his half shekels before he even gave them. The second parsha is Parshat Zachor, which is the remembrance of Amalek, and the part that we read is at the end of Devarim, in Devarim Chafei. And this also is related to Purim, as we saw earlier on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, on 7a. The idea of Purim, of defeating Haman, is also that of defeating Amalek. And when Esther wanted to have Purim be its own holiday, and the Megillah be its own book in Tanakh, the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, were opposed to this idea because they said, we already have scriptures and holidays about Mechiyat Amalek, about destroying Amalek. Halo katavti lecha shilei shim. We already have it written in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings in all three places. Do we really need to have another example of defeating Amalek? So clearly, in the end of the day, the answer was yes. But the idea of remembering Amalek is very connected to the idea of remembering what Haman did to us on Purim. The third parsha is Parshat Parah, the red heifer, and that one has to be read before Rosh Chodesh Nisan because they would burn the red heifer if they burned it. Apparently, I think in history they only burned six red heifers ever, and the seventh one will be when Mashiach comes. That's what the Rambam says. But if they were to burn the red heifer, they would burn it on Bet Nisan, on the second day of Nisan. And the reason they would burn that red heifer is because it was part of the purification process. If someone had come into contact with the dead, they needed to become purified in order to participate in the bringing of the Karban Pesach. So for some reason, they had been putting off becoming tahor, becoming pure. This is the time to do it. And Parshat Parah announces to everyone in the Jewish people that they should get ready to become pure, because it takes 7 days, so that they can offer the Karban Pesach. And finally, the Parsha of HaChodesh is always read right either on or right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, partially because it's the first mitzvah in the Torah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month, the month of Nisan, is really the beginning of the year for the Jewish people, and so we read this special reading to announce it. But it also possibly could be, and I think it says this in the Yerushalmi, that after the brief section that mentions HaChodesh, the month of Nisan, it gives a detailed explanation of the Karban Pesach. So 2 weeks before you're going to bring the Karban Pesach, it announces that people should begin to study. We'll see a little later in our discussion that there's a machloket about whether or not you need to start learning the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach or 2 weeks before Pesach. So those are the four special readings, and we'll now read our Mishnah with that background. Four lines up at the bottom of Chaf Tet Amud Aleph 29a. At the Mishnah, big bolded word right in the middle of the line. Rosh Chodesh Adar, if we have the new month of Adar, Shechal Lihiyot B'Shabbat, and it falls out on Shabbat itself. Korin B'Parshat Shkalim, then we read the Parsha of Shkalim. Chal Lihiyot B'Toch HaShabbat, if the new month of Adar fell out in the middle of the week, Makedimin L'She'avar, then we read Parshat Shkalim, the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Umafsikin l'Shabbat acheret, and then we take a break in the special readings. The next Shabbat is just a regular Shabbat. And then the third Shabbat would be Zachor. But in the case that we're dealing with, where Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat itself, then the second Shabbat, Bashnia, the second Shabbat, would be Zachor, remembering Amalek. Bashlishit, the third Shabbat, would be Para Aduma, the red heifer. Barvi'it, the fourth Shabbat, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, will be Parshat HaChodesh, which was also my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. B'chamishit, on the fifth Shabbat, Chozrin L'Chisidran, we return to the regular order, even though it's right before Pesach, so you might think we'd continue to have special readings. The Mishnah tells us that we go back to our regularly ordered programming. Now the Mishnah says something very strange at the end. Lakol, for all of these above, for all the special readings, Mafsikin, we stop our regular readings. It seems to be from the Mishnah that in the ancient times, that the custom was that for these special parshas, which we read as maftirs, we just read them at the end of the Torah readings, that instead of reading regular parshiot, they would read these alone on Shul on Shabbat. So on Parshat Parah, that's all they read was Parah Duma. They did not read a regular parsha of Kitisa or Vayakel or whatever it was. And also, they say, Barashei Chodashim, on new months, B'Chanukah, on Chanukah, U'Bepurim, B'Taniyot, on fast days, U'Bema'amadot, and on times when you had sort of jury duty to help out with the Beit HaMikdash, U'Biyom HaKippurim, and on Yom Kippur. On all of these times, it seems to indicate that you don't read the regular parshas, you only read the special parshas. All of these are surprising to us. We don't do any of these. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat, we read the Maftir of Rosh Chodesh. Same thing with Hanukkah and Purim. Fast days we don't have to deal with. Ma'amado we don't have to deal with. Yom HaKippurim, Tosfot says it's only referring to Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbat, and it's only referring to the Mincha reading. Usually in the Shabbat afternoon, you would read the Parsha of the week, but on Yom HaKippurim in the Mincha, we read the Parsha of Arayot, all the sexual indiscretions. And that's what it refers to here. In any case, the Gemara will have to sort this out. From the Mishnah, it's difficult to it's very different from the way we actually do it in common practice. We'll see the Gemara straightens it out. Last line, Gemara, Tanan Hatam. We have a Mishnah there. And the Mishnah here that we're talking about is referenced both earlier in Yud Gimel Amud Bet, as we mentioned, 13b, and it's also in a few other places, including Moed Katan and Shkalim. Be'echad ba'adar, on the first of Adar, mashmian ala shkalim, we make a public announcement. That's mashmian is the causative of shema, not to hear, but to make heard. On shkalim, that people have to give their half shekels. We flip the page to chaf tet amud bet, the Alakilayim. And we also make a big announcement that Jewish farmers have to make sure that they don't have forbidden mixtures, mixing two different kinds of species of plants together, which is forbidden by the Torah. Bishlama Alakilayim, it makes sense that you would announce on the first of Adar related to the hybrid species that are forbidden, Dizman Zriyahi, because it is the time of planting. And Tosfot points out that it's not the beginning of planting. It's not when people are actually planting, but it is getting close to the harvest time. It's spring, and the crops are blooming. So what Tosfot says is you'll be able to see if two species have gotten mixed together. Since they've started to grow, you'll be able to see them, and you can uproot them. Ela al hashkalim minalan. What is the source that we should announce the half shekels on the first of Adar? Amar Rabbi Tavi. Rabbi Tavi said, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, to Amar Kra. There's a certain verse that we learn this from. Now, it's a surprising verse. It's not what we mentioned earlier. This verse actually comes from the reading for Rosh Chodesh. In the Rosh Chodesh reading, which is in Parsha Pinchas, it says, Zot Olad Chodesh B'chadsho. This is the offering of the new month in its month. Now, what you have here is a redundancy, and the rabbis always look at redundancies and innovate interpretations. So it says Chodesh and Chodesh, so it's Chodesh twice. So we darsh in the second one. Amra Torah, says the Torah, Chadesh, make it new, v'havei korban mitruma chadasha, and bring an offering from the new truma. In other words, B'chadsho is referring specifically to the month of Nisan, and what we're saying is that at the beginning of the month of Nisan, you have to offer the sacrifices from the new truma. Okay, so the kevan, so that's the teaching of Rabbi Tavi. We're going to come back to Rabbi Tavi, so remember it. Rabbi Tavi says that the Parsha of Pinchas, the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, teaches us that you have to offer new sacrifices in the month of Nisan, and presumably with new money, you purchase the sacrifices. So Gemara says, fifth line down, the kevan Dibnisan ba'i akruve mitruma chadasha. Since in Nisan it is necessary to bring sacrifices from the new truma, from the new donations. Kadminan v'karinan, we go earlier and we read be'echad be'adar, on the first of Adar. Ki hechi deleitu shkalim lemikdash, so that they will bring their shkalim, their half shekels, to the temple. So they get a month, you know, you get a month announcement for people to bring their shekels to the Beit HaMikdash. Kiman, whose opinion does this accord with? Deloki Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion. De'i Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if it were like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, ha'amar shtei Shabbatot. He says you only need 2 weeks, and here we're giving people a month. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says the rule is 2 weeks. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, this is a very famous Braita, Shoalim behilchot ha-Pesach, we begin to ask in the laws of Pesach, Kodem la-Pesach shloshim yom, before Pesach, 30 days. Now, exactly 30 days before Pesach is Purim, actually. And partially, that's the reason why Purim is always in the second Adar, as we learned earlier, so that it's a month before Pesach. We said that regarding Tzedakah, but here we're saying it's that as soon as you hit Purim, you know that you have to start learning the laws of Pesach. You look at all of your chametz that you got for Mishloach Manot, and you say, oh, it's time to think about Pesach. How am I going to get rid of all this? And some people actually have a custom to begin learning the laws of Pesach at their Purim Suda. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, however, this is the opinion we were talking about, Rashbag says, Omer Shtei Shabbatot, he says it's only 2 weeks. You only have to start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to learn the laws of Pesach. So the Gemara answers, it could even be according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Afilu tema Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, even if you were to say Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kevan de Amar Mar, since we have a teaching in the name of Mar, Bachamisha Asar Bo, on the 15th of Adar, Shulchanot Yoshvin Bamedina, they would put tables out in the local areas so that, you know, it was kind of like collection points. And since it was getting close to the deadline for giving half shekels, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't say you would start at Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He would say, on the 15th of Adar, they would put out the temples, they would put out the tables in the area to tell them that they had 2 weeks left to give to give their shekels if they wanted to get them in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ubechafhei, and on the 25th, Yoshvin b'Mikdash, they would set up tables in the Beit HaMikdash to say you only have a few days left. Mishum Shulchanot, because of those Shulchanot, Kadminan v'Karinan, we begin to read earlier. In other words, since they put up the tables in the local areas on the 15th, that's why we read on the first of. That's why we announce it on the first of Adar, because you have 2 weeks until they put the tables up. If you look at it as a month, you have a month until the deadline. But if you have 2 weeks from when we make the announcement until the point when they're going to go into turbo activity, so you could apply to either one of the opinions, whether you need 2 weeks to learn the laws of Pesach or a month. Okay, now we're going to ask a question. We're on this first wide line, at the end of the first wide line. My Parshat Shkalim. What is the Parsha of Shkalim? Now, I answered that question already. It is the beginning of the Parsha of Kitisa, which mentions Truma and Machatzit HaShekel. However, surprisingly, there is a dispute about it. Rav Amar, Rav says, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem et karbeni lachmi. Rav says the reading that we call Parshat Shkalim is the same as our Rosh Chodesh reading. It's in Parshat Pinchas, and it's a reading that describes the daily offering in the temple, the Shabbat offering, and the Rosh Chodesh offering. That is what we always read on Rosh Chodesh. And he says that's what we mean by Parshat Shkalim. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says Kitisa. Now obviously at the end of the day we paskin like Shmuel, that we read Kitisa, but we're going to discuss what the meaning of each of these Torah readings is. It's interesting. Bishlama Lamanda Amar Kitisa. It makes sense according to the one, that is Shmuel, who says that it's Kitisa. Hainu Dekarila Parshat Shkalim, that we call it Parshat Shkalim. Dichtiv ba shkalim, because it's written in there shkalim. It says machatzit shekel, and it says shekel a few times in there. It says, it talks about the kesef and the truma. Anyway, it says that it's very clearly about giving shekels to the Beit HaMikdash. El lema'an damar es karbeni lachmi, but according to the one who says that it's the same as the Rosh Chodesh reading, that's Rav, according to the Gosha Bach, we skip the next word, haha, and we go straight to mide shkalim ktivi. Where does it say shkalim? Hatam there, ein taima hatam. I read it incorrectly. Mide shkalim tive hatam. Where are shkalim written in there? There are shkalim written in there. Taima kid Rabbi Tavi, just like Rabbi Tavi. So what Rabbi Tavi says is that based on the pasuk zot olad chodesh bechadsho, that we learn that you have to bring new sacrifices from new truma. So if we learn it like Rabbi Tabi, then the learning that you have to bring new sacrifices from the truma is learned from the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading, and therefore, according to Rabbi Tabi, that is an appropriate reading. And it does mention that the truma, even though it only via a drasha. Okay, so we answered it up. It seems more likely that Kitisa, but we could see according to Rabbi Tabi that it would work even for the Rosh Chodesh reading of Pinchas. Bishlam lamanda amar tzavet b'nei Yisrael. Now we try a different tack. We say it makes sense according to the one who says that it's the Rosh Chodesh reading, that's Rav, mishum dichtivi karbanot, because there it talks about sacrifices. Dichtivi karbanot hatam, that it mentions sacrifices there, kid Rabbi Tavi. Like Rabbi Tavi noticed, in Rabbi Tavi's teaching, it said, chadesh v'have karban, you should make a new, you should bring new karbans, mitruma chadasha, from the new money that was donated. So there it mentioned sacrifices. Elamanda amar kitisa, but according to the one who says kitisa, karbanot miktivi, it doesn't mention sacrifices at all. It does mention making donations to the temple, but it doesn't say anything about sacrifices. Shkalim la'adanim tive. It actually is talking about giving money to repair or to do construction. La'adanim are the silver sockets. That's what the money is for. It's for physical repairs. It has nothing to do with sacrifices. Okay, so we answer it up. As I explained in our preface, Kidetani Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef learned in the Mishnah, Shalosh Trumot Hain, there were three special offerings given at this time. Shel Mizbeach, one was for the altar, that is for sacrifices. Shel Mizbeach LaMizbeach, the one given for the altar was for the altar. V'shal adanim ladanim, the one given for the silver sockets was for the silver sockets, and that's what I said was like a capital campaign. V'shal bedekabayit lebedekabayit, and for ordinary upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash, that was given for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. So you really do have a mention there of three trumas, one of which is the sacrifices. So we answer it up. Bishlam Lamanda Amar Kitisa. Our third question, it makes sense according to the one who says Kitisa, that's Shmuel. Hainu Dishane, Hai Rosh Chodesh, Mishar Rosh Chodeshim. Because when we read Kitisa for Rosh Chodesh Adar, it is different than all the other Rosh Chodeshes. And all other Rosh Chodeshes we read from Parsha Pinchas. On this case, we read from Kitisa, which is a little bit of a strange question because we still read the Rosh Chodesh reading on Adar. We just add in this additional reading. We'll leave that for now. Ella Lamanda Amar Tzavik Karbani. But according to Rav, who says that we read the Rosh Chodesh reading, my Shane, what's different in this month from all other months? We always read the Rosh Chodesh reading. So they answer, the Gemara answers, Shane, it's different. The Ilu Rashei Chadashim, usually on Rosh Chodesh, Karu Shita B'inyana Diyoma, this is Rosh Chodesh that falls out on a Shabbos, we'll read six in the regular order of the day, that is the regular Parsha. V'chad B'Rosh Chodesh, and then we read the seventh Aliyah is Rosh Chodesh. V'ilu Ha'idna, but this time, that is this Rosh Chodesh Adar case, when we're reading Parsha Shkalim, Kulhu B'Rosh Chodesh, the whole thing is Rosh Chodesh. We don't read any regular Parsha. That's what we mentioned in the Mishnah. We suspend the regular Parsha and we only read Rosh Chodesh. Now this is a little problematic. We mentioned earlier in the Masechta that there aren't enough verses. In the whole Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, there's only 15 verses. It would be difficult to divide, actually impossible, to divide those up among seven aliyahs, since you need to have a minimum of three aliyahs for each Oleh, for each person that goes up to the Torah. So you'd have to stipulate here that they were repeating the reading several times in a row in order to make that work. But in any case, Hanicha Lamanda Amar, okay, it's possible to say so according to the opinion that says, L'seder Parshio Tu Choser, that when we have these special Torah readings, we suspend the regular Torah reading, and then after it's over, L'seder Parshiot, the regular ordered Parshiot, Hu Choser, he returns to, meaning they're suspended, and then after these special readings, they return to the regular readings. El Laman de Amar, but according to the opinion, L'seder Haftorot, Hu Choser, but according to the one that says we don't suspend the regular Torah readings, we only change the Haftorahs, Uparsha Tadiyoma Karinan, and we do read the regular Parsha of the week, my Shane, then what's different? So now we see here that our Mishnah is not the only opinion. There's an additional opinion among the rabbis that the regular Torah readings are not suspended, only the Haftorahs are changed. And that, of course, is generally our practice, which is that most of the time, except for on Yantif, we keep the regular Torah readings, but we do sometimes change the Haftorahs for Inyan Adiyoma, like if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we read the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. Even if Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, we read the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, but we don't change the regular Torah reading, we read the Sidra of the week. So according to that opinion, what's different? So he says something strange. Shane, it's different. De'ilu Rashei Chadashim, on regular Rosh Chodeshes, Karu Shita B'inyan Adiyoma, we read six in the regular parts of the week. V'chad karei b'drosh chodesh, and one is in Rosh Chodesh, as we said a minute ago. V'ilu ha'idna, but this particular case, karu tlata b'inyan adiyoma, we only read three aliyahs in the parsha of the week. V'arba'a karu b'drosh chodesh, and then we read four in Rosh Chodesh. Now we always read four aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, that's how we fit in the four aliyahs into the 15 verses of Rosh Chodesh. We have to repeat one verse, as we mentioned earlier. So in this case, what we're doing is, even though we're reading both the regular Parsha of the Week and Rosh Chodesh, the majority is Rosh Chodesh. We're still reading four aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh. Of course, we don't do this because we read Parsha Shkalim in Kitisa, and we add it in as a maftir. So all of this is just a theoretical conversation about practice. I don't know if it was theoretical in Rav's town. It seems like, according to Tosfot, that in Rav's city, this is what they read for Parsha Shkalim. This is how he paskin, and that's how they did it in his town. But everywhere else, we read Kitisa. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.